We begin a brief but truly enjoyable sojourn in the book of Revelation, and Dr. Wyatt regales us with John's vision of the only one who is worthy.
Thank you, Dennis. This is, for me, quite enjoyable. Sharon's reading is from the fifth chapter of John's Revelation, and this marvelous in visionary experience depicting the Lion of Judah. I hope you'll find this all a joy and insightful.
I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I wept much that no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to read it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Weep not. Lo, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes. He took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp with a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, "Worthy art thou to take the scroll and to open its seals, for thou wast slain, and by thy blood did ransom men for God from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and hast made them a kingdom and priests of our Lord, and they shall reign on earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea saying, "To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen."
Thank you, Sharon, very much. I would again delve into the wonders of this epistle, the book of Revelation. And this is a letter, which will continue for 17 chapters. John, our author, has just been asked to come up hither. Throughout this epistle, we will find that John's vantage point changing. Now he is to be shown the very throne of God. This is where he will learn what is to come after this. There in the Spirit, he will envision God's very presence and will hear the continuous worship bestowed upon our Lord and God, who, as John records for us, is the only one worthy to receive glory and honor. Now our author witnesses the very purpose of these visions he records here, for he is to see the one who is worthy to open the scrolls, to break the seals, which is to conclude the great redemptive purpose of God, and will commence as well the judgments of God on all idolatry and unbelief. It is a profound and moving account, often rushed by in order to get to the more intricate and horrific pictures, and thus more often it is misunderstood. This letter is not commonly preached upon because of the images John will supply us with, which are often seen as confusing and or grotesque. But this book or epistle to these seven churches, that is, those churches in the ancient province of Asia, are usually approached with the attempt to decipher the many symbols, numbers, and images, and thus found difficult because they try to see in them current events rather than to see them reflect the culture and events of the first century. But this is a book first to be heard, and thus we too must primarily hear in it the struggles of the faithful against evil, and the ultimate cosmic defeat of such evil, and the ushering in of God's everlasting kingdom. One will discover that the seven seals, seven vials and trumpets, the seven mystic figures, the seven sayings, the seven sights, the seven revelations and admonishments are all to illuminate the identical truth, each telling the same story, that this is God's world, and everything that has opposed God's purposes have only stored up for themselves the wrath of God. As the 24 elders before the throne sing, "Worthy art thou, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you did create all things, and by thy will existed and were created." Here at this point, John sees in the right hand of he who sits upon the throne a scroll. Some translations read book, but it is a scroll, for as yet there were no books. It is written on both sides and sealed with seven seals. As these words are read, a first and second century audience would recognize immediately what it was, a rolled up scroll filled with writing, and with wax seals holding the ends of the scroll to itself. This is a great number of wax seals, so whatever was written upon the scroll is considered important. Then we are introduced to a mighty angel, who with a loud voice proclaims, actually he is asking a rhetorical question, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break the seals?" And our author adds as a prophet, that no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth was found able to open the scroll or look into it. He will then weep greatly, for no one was worthy, no one has the authority to open it, that no one can be found anywhere, which means that history will not be guided or governed in the interest of God or for his purpose. There will be no protection for God's own in what is to unfold. No one found to bring history to God's desired conclusion. But God is not unprepared. As one of the elders around the throne will tell our prophetic author, "Weep no more. Lo, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. He is victorious. He now has the authority, so he can open the scroll and its seven seals." These are, of course, Old Testament prophetic pictures, for the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, was part of the Jewish messianic prophetic expectation. Here is Judah as the Lion, Isaiah's shoot from the stump of Jesse, the Root of Jesse standing as an ensign to the people. We are given the identity of the one who is able to execute God's purpose, who can open the sealed scroll. Yet being told it is the Lion of Judah, our author will learn upon looking in the midst of the throne and there sharing the throne of God is not a lion, but a lamb standing as though it had been slaughtered. Not merely slain, but the Greek speaks far more graphically. Again we hear echoes of Isaiah. "He opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and dumb before its shearers." This image of the lamb is common in this book of Revelation, being used 28 times, and such a depiction of Calvary, for that is what it is, should always be uppermost in our mind as we hear this. The lamb, you see, has conquered, and is the only one able to open the scroll. He has conquered because of his death on Calvary, and made complete by his resurrection. This is the revelation of the Christ, and because of his act, we too can conquer, if we will but accept his redemptive act for us, and as we will learn, to do so means one will reign on earth. We hear of his horns. Horns are the biblical symbol of power. The lamb's seven horns indicate divine or perfect and complete power. And we will see also that the Lamb has seven eyes. This is then divine or perfect and complete insight and knowledge. Yes, the Lamb not only shares the throne of God, but is also omniscient and omnipotent. We are, upon hearing this, to equate the slaughtered Lamb as sharing the same place as God. Now the Lamb will take the scroll from the right hand of He who sits upon the throne. The right hand symbolizing power and authority. Upon taking the scroll, the four living creatures who represent and idealize the entire created order of the world, and also the 24 elders who represent either the 12 patriarchs and thus the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles representing the church, or it is a symbol of the 24 divisions or courses of the priesthood of Aaron, now serving in the heavenly temple. They all fall down before the Lamb, holding a harp and with golden bowls full of incense, which we are told are the prayers of the saints. They will all sing a new song. As it is a new song, it means something new is initiated. The Lamb is worthy, has now been given the authority and power to initiate God's purpose in history. Human history will be guided by God's hand. What has been written from the beginning will be. All that God has intended in humanity is to be brought to pass, not only in redemption, but also in judgment. Worthy are you, they sing, to take the scroll, to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you did ransom people for God, of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. This is our Christian theology, that by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed. We are ransomed from the snare of Satan, our sins expiated. They are erased. His death has even more propitiated, paid the debt of our sin, and God's judgment is thus enabled by this act to set it all aside. Indeed, Christ has conquered not only sin, death, and hell for himself, but for all those people for God, those from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Such a fourfold repetition represents the entire earth. No people, tribe, nation, or tongue will be overlooked or uninvolved. Every part of this world will be represented among the redeemed. And not only that, but those who are for God, those who will be redeemed and ransomed, God will make of them a kingdom and priest unto our God, and they shall reign on the earth. There is so much here. This is first the original promise to ancient Israel as they were introduced to the first covenant at Sinai. Israel was meant to be a kingdom unto God, and as such, also a kingdom of priests. But Moses was not yet down from the mountain before the people made a golden god for themselves, ate and rose up to indulge in debauchery. It was God who spoke of destroying them all, and raising up from Moses a people unto himself. But Moses would stand between God and the people, and as a result, the first covenant was altered. And Aaron's family and the Levites alone would be separated unto the service to God and as priest. But now, as even Peter will relate in his first epistle, there is to be a people, a nation born in a day, a people so declared as God's kingdom and priests unto that God, set aside, separated, consecrated. We will learn as we continue. This kingdom, this priesthood of believers, as the reformers would coin the phrase, these redeemed are the bride of the Lamb, which is the heavenly city of Jerusalem. It is about a new earth and a new heaven, interconnected in new, unimaginable ways. The universal kingdom of David, the great mountain that destroys the image of the four kingdoms, which will then fill the earth, is actually this kingdom and priests unto our God. Now our prophetic seer John would look and hear all around the throne of God, the living creatures and the elders and the voices as well of many angels, which number as in the Greek, myriads of myriads, thousands upon thousands, all saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessings." There is nothing that the slaughtered Lamb is not to receive. All is his because he was slain, and by his blood he did ransom a people for God. It is the long-held promise of Eden regained, of the effects of the fall reversed, removed, erased, of mankind's folly, frailties, foibles, and failures forgiven, and mankind restored to their rightful and long-meant place before God. It is, of course, more than mankind deserves, more than one can even earn. It is, as our Christian faith declares, only by God's grace and mercy. This is at least God's intent, and his means has been the most unlikely act. The Lamb standing in the midst of the throne as if slaughtered. This is why John will hear the acclaim of every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and in the sea, and all that is in them, saying, "To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." All of creation, more the universe, will with one voice in a crescendo that rises ever louder unto the very throne of God. Now and only now the four living creatures announce the climax with Amen, and the 24 elders fall on their faces to worship He who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. Here is the conclusion of God's great redemptive purpose, and the Lamb will soon open the seals which will begin the great cosmic struggle between good and evil, the Lamb and the Dragon, the pure bride of the Lamb and the harlot of Babylon, of two cities, Babylon and the New Jerusalem. It is the struggle, the warfare begun so long ago, of which we are all, whether we desire it or not, part of, but one in which the Lamb controls, for he is already victorious. There is, of course, much more, as we will discover. But for now, we are to hear in these words that the Lamb has already won, and thus he has the authority to break the seals. We will hear of what God's people can expect, but we must never see any of this other than as the outworking of God's victory and his judgment. The Lamb who was slaughtered, yet has conquered, and is he who is worthy. O Lord, we must all hear the songs. The Lamb has conquered. He is worthy. Everything that will happen is ultimately in his hands. Oh, as we look about us at the chaos, carnage, and callousness of the rising tide of sin, we must know that God reigns, and he is victorious, and as we who are faithful will be as well. Give praises always, for his kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, all for his glory and might and honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
As we begin this short series from the most misunderstood and misappropriated epistle, Dr. Wyatt wants all of you who will write to us this week to receive a copy of his study on John's book of Revelation. Here is a concise and understandable overview of the message of Revelation. All of you who truly wish to really understand what John is endeavoring to say will want to write and ask for a copy of The Message of Revelation. It is yours at no charge. We also want to thank those of you, dear ones, who are keeping this ministry in your prayers and for your often wonderful generosity towards this ministry. We do depend on your graciousness that we might be able to get the Word of God and help out to a world that so needs it. So please consider being a part of this outreach by supporting the Wings of Healing. A gift, large or small, is always a blessing to so many. It does make it possible for us to share the truth of the resurrection across this land and far beyond. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V64N1. Or you can contact us on the web at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. As we begin this little series, I want to encourage all to listen with an open mind. For this book, The Apocalypse, has been so misused and made to say things neither John nor the Spirit meant. We need to appreciate what God wants. As this from Jerry of Maryland has written, Dr. Wyatt, as you know, I've been struggling with some painful decisions, and I discovered the problem was me. When I let go, everything just marvelously worked out, just great. This does seem to be the way God usually works. Just let go and let Him. Dennis will provide our addresses once more. But now, Travis Cothrill performs so appropriately, "Worthy is the Lamb." Indeed, and until next week, praise the Lamb that was slain.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available. Dr. Wyatt is also offering this week to all who will write a copy of his book, The Message of Revelation. This is an easy and necessary overview of this most misunderstood book. So do write and ask for The Message of Revelation. It is yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.